I hope I have something for the young people and for the children this afternoon. But I'd just like to say to the young people and older ones too, including myself, I've enjoyed this verse when I first noticed it when I was at a conference. I'd read the Bible through I don't know how many times, but in the second chapter of Matthew, verse 12, it says these words: "These wise men were seeking to find the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior." And it says in the end of the verse 12, it says, "They departed into their own country another way." And I just hope, dear boys and girls, and older ones, and myself included, that when we leave these meetings, we go back another way in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's no other way to be happy. I'm going to try go through these because I don't want to take the whole time. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to read these words. You don't have to turn to them to save time. But we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, these words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." The Lord Jesus Christ wants you and I, girls and boys, to be joyful in him. Now, I just wanted to say there are five steps I'd like to talk on for young people and older ones that are here that might help you if you're unsaved. And that is, the first step is to find out, first of all, an important question, that you're a sinner. And get it right from God's Word. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, that you'll realize that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. And if you're in earnest, God will show you what verses. There are several verses. As I say, I don't want to take up time. Let another brother have a message too. But there's so many verses in the Bible that tell us that we're sinners. And there's as many verses, if not more, in telling us how to get saved. But the first one is, if you find out you're a sinner, and I hope you do today, and then the next thing is to be baptized, if you want to be happy, and then the third thing, after you get saved, that is, be baptized. And then the most important step after you're baptized and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is to take your place at the Lord's table and remember him. Will you turn with me to Luke 22? We all know this pretty well, but I'll read it for this younger one. Verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou?'" That's so important. Where wilt thou? "And he said unto them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you.'" Isn't that beautiful? If you and I were sent into a city, I've been sent in many times with the company I used to be with, and they gave me certain things to look for. And in the excitement, I would be looking around, and I never saw some of the things they told me. It wasn't easy to find. But he says here, "There shall a man meet you." And that is no other than represents the Holy Spirit of God, bearing a pitcher of water. Now, when I read that several years ago, I thought, well, if I was writing that, I might have made a mistake. And I might have said a pitcher water. Water pitcher. But notice it's a pitcher of water. Now the Spirit speaks of the man, the Spirit of God, and the vessel, the pitcher, speaks of man, you or I, who are saved, and it's full with water, the Word of God. And if anybody comes into the meeting and they're not guided by the Word of God, and they only come because we're nice people, the women all wear hats, they all shake hands, and the women kiss each other and show affection, and they have no other interest in the meeting than that, and they haven't got down by the Holy Spirit guide them there, and a real desire to serve the Lord and fulfill His dying request, well, it isn't long till sometimes they leave the meeting, naturally. They can't understand it all. He says unto them further, after they follow this man, follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, notice the capital M for master, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? I like to think, you know, it was a guest chamber. And I like to think that God maybe put that word guest chamber there because it reminds us, a guest chamber is a place where people come and stay for maybe two or three nights. Maybe they stay a week. But they don't stay, as a rule, very long. It's a guest chamber. And so it speaks to us this very short time that the Lord is coming. And we're to go into this room expecting at any time we'll hear the call, the shout from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Master, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. Isn't that beautiful? A large upper room furnished for as many who is saved and wants to be at the Lord's table. A large upper room furnished. And they were there to make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And all this is so beautiful. The next verse. I know that you who are gathered for years have enjoyed it like I have and others. And when the hour was come, he, Jesus, sat down and the 12 apostles with him. I remember reading this one time. I went to a small town and I read it and I said, and when the hour was come, he sat down and 6 of the apostles with him. And all heads went down to read their Bibles. Oh, I said, there were 12. They were all there to read, to remember the Lord there, as we count it now, to be at the Passover. And he said unto them, first of all, when the hour was come, I mentioned that when I was brought up by my dear mother and father, we're Christians, gathered to the precious name of the Lord, they used to insist that all of us would be at the meetings 15 minutes before the meeting started. And my mother used to say, a dear old French brother in our meeting, and naming him, I've forgotten his name, he used to say, if you get there 15 minutes, if you get there on time, you're 15 minutes late. You should be there, especially Lord's Day, if you're at the Lord's table 15 minutes before, so you can meditate and meditate with the Lord in prayer. Be prepared when the Lord, so to speak, appears at 10:30 at the hour. And so I spoke in this town, and I said, When the hour was come, he sat down, and last I said this at 6. And then I said, no, it's 12, isn't it? They were all there. And he said, with desire. Oh, I think that's so wonderful. Can you imagine? It's hard for us to take it in. That the Son of God, God's beloved Son, who never sinned, he couldn't, because he didn't have a sinful nature like you and I. He was sent from heaven, born of a virgin, and he tells us that he desires to be with us. I think it's so wonderful. So wonderful. He desires to be with us. I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I'll not any more remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now to save time, I said there were five things. First, find out you're lost through the Word of God. Secondly, get saved. You heard a gospel message last night. There'll be a gospel message tonight if the Lord hasn't come. Lord willing. But find out and then be baptized. And then when the Lord shows you and you have a real desire to remember him and his death as he's asked us to do, take your place at the Lord's table. Now maybe there's someone here who's in the same condition as I was. I went to the meetings faithfully, my dear mother and father. I never remember ever saying I'm not going gospel or anything else. I would go. I enjoyed it. I wasn't saved until I was about 11 or 12, I guess. But I went, and I loved my mother and father, and I knew they were taking me there because it was of God's will. And as I went there, finally, I got one for Christ. And I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. So, going back to this place where I went, spoken this after the breaking of bread, I hadn't been there for a while. I went back and the brother said to me, "Oh, Brother Smeal, I just like to speak to you in the corner," and took me over and he said, "You know, we had a family here, the family, name and the number, I forget how many there were." He says, "They used to come 25 I think it was to 11. Anyhow, it was 5 minutes before, either 5 minutes past 11, the meeting started at 11, we'll say, 5 minutes past 11, 10 minutes past 11, and 15 minutes past 11, all different ones. He said, "Now they're all here 15 minutes before, like you suggested." I said, "Isn't that nice?" He said, "Maybe it'd be nice if you speak to them." I said, "No, no. The Spirit of God has spoken to them. The work's His. Just leave it. I love them, and I wouldn't want to offend anyone. Offended brother is harder to be won in a strong city." And I said, "Leave that with the Lord." Now, all right, we're down to the finding out we're lost. Secondly, being baptized, taking our place, getting saved, being baptized, and taking our place at the Lord's table. Now, there may be some here that are in the same condition as I was in the Lord's table. I used to sit in Montreal at that time. The brethren sat in front and up. There was a balcony over, and underneath, those who didn't break bread sat back. And as I went, I used to sing the hymns, and I loved this. I've always loved singing. Not a good singer, but I love it. And I used to sing the hymns, and when the brother visited with his children, and he walked in with these three children, brought tears to my eye, I thought. Isn't it sad? They're younger than I am, and here I am back here. And one day, a brother visited one of the laborers, and he said, Billy, why are you sitting back there? And I said, well, he said, you're saved. What are you sitting back there for? Well, I said, I tell you why. I'm afraid if I take my place at the Lord's table, I may fall into sin. I've never been to a theater in my life, but, you know, I just, it's a serious thing to take your place here. He says, yes, it is. Well, he says, and he turned me to the 1 Corinthians 11, and he read me that scripture, and he says, if you wait till you're any better, you may never come at all. Because he said, we all sin. And if it was a case of us not coming till we sure we wouldn't sin, there wouldn't be anybody here, if they were honest. Oh no, he said, here we have the Word of God, and he says, if a man sin, let him examine himself and then partake of the element. And so I decided, shaving one afternoon, I was supposed to go out with a Christian friend, Chris Newton, believer in the Montreal Assembly, not gathered, and I was shaving. And the Lord spoke to me just as if he was in the room. And he said, when are you going to remember me? I was getting ready to go out, but I put the razor down and got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, give me strength. And I went up to Chris's house and I said, I'm sorry I won't be going with you tonight. We weren't going anywhere special. But I said, I've decided to go over to the house of Mr. Price. I've been invited. His grandchildren being baptized. And I'm going to ask for my place at the Lord's table. And he put his hand out and he said, you couldn't make a better choice. That's good. But he said, I'm terribly disappointed that you're not coming. Well, I said, if I don't do it tonight, Satan will hinder me. And I said, this may be the last opportunity I have, because Christ is coming pretty soon, Chris. He said, I know he is. So that's why I took my place. Now, if there's any young person here today that has that feeling, don't put it off. Now, the last one I was going to say is to work for the Lord. Now, how old have you got to be a sinner? I asked a little fellow that one in the summertime. I was at a meeting and said, how old have you got to be a sinner? And he thought for a while and he said, well, he said, when you revile me, oh, baby can be a sinner. I said, that's right, we're born in sin. Yeah, he said, that's the one, yeah. So I'm going to ask you this. How old have you got to work for the Lord? Well, some say, you know, well, I'd like to, but I haven't got the nerve to hand out tracts. I haven't got the energy to, or the nerve to speak to somebody about the Lord. It's so hard. Dear young people, that's only Satan that's telling you that. We have two young people, a young man who has come to our meeting lately. One's from Russia, and the other's from Lebanon. And they bring in different ones. On Tuesday night before I left, this Russian boy, nice looking boy, speaks only a little English, quite a bit more French, speaks Russian and other languages, about 5 or 6 languages. But here he is sitting at the back with two young girls that he brought out. One was a girl with colored skin, brown skin, and the other was a little French girl. And there he was at the back, and I went over, shake hands with him, and he said, I want you to meet these two girls. I shook hands with them and had a talk with them. Not saved yet, but he said they hope to get saved. He said, speak to them. So I said, well, if you've already spoken to them, I don't think we should go too far. I said, you know, we can spoil the work of the Holy Spirit by trying to get people saved in 24 hours. Have you spoken about the Lord? Yeah. So I quoted some verses to them. I said, do you understand them? That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Yes. Did you read about John 3:16? How God so loved the world? Yes. Well, if you believe that, you can be saved tonight. Right now. Well, they were going to our tea. They're supposed to go to the tea this Sunday. And we're having a fellowship tea. And they hoped to go. They said they were, at least. Now, about the younger ones, how about a little girl, 6 years of age? Can she work for the Lord? Well, there's a little girl, I periodically get mail, no name attached to them, I don't know who sends them to me half the time, but little slips of paper telling about two stories. And this will really touch my heart. A little girl left Sunday school and she's skipping down the sidewalk singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And she was singing, and then she went on to, Jesus loves me, this I know. And beside her was a man walking down beside her. And she didn't know him, and he didn't know her. But they came to across the street, a traffic light was against them. So the little girl looked up in his face with a sweet smile and she said, Mister, do you love Jesus? No, I don't love Jesus. Why not? He loves you. He said, how do you know he loves me? He crossed the street with her and she said, because he died for you and I on Calvary's cross. And she said, why don't you love Jesus? Tell me, mister, why? He said, go on home. He went home, and the Spirit of God used that little girl's voice and message. And he put on the TV to look at his sports, turned it off. He picked up the newspaper, started to read it, put it down. And his wife looked at him and said, she said to him, are you sick? No. He said, just, well, I guess work and all that. He said, I don't know. And she said, well, you're very funny. You don't look at the TV or sports. You're not interested in the paper. What's the matter? I don't know. I'm going to bed early. So he got into bed and he tossed and turned. And the Holy Spirit all the time was bringing this little girl's question. Mister, do you love Jesus? Why not? He died for you and I. And so the man went home and finally he got down on his knees and he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to a place where they sold the papers telling the way of salvation, a Christian book room. I don't know where it was, but he went there and told them the story. And he said, that's how the Spirit of God saved me. And so this was written on a little tract and somebody mailed it to me. A little girl, she's around 6 years of age. Now here's another one. About 10 years ago I got one. A little girl, 5 years of age, and their father and mother had her friend coming to the house, a man, a businessman of her father's, not saved, worldly man, and the father and mother were Christians and the little girl was 5 years of age. Now that's not old, is it? The man came in and he said something to her like, oh, what do you know today, I think it was. And she said, well, I was at Sunday school and I found out that Jesus loves me. Isn't that nice? He said, oh yes, she said, he loves me. He said, how do you know? Well, she said, I'll try and find the verse. So she somehow went to mother somebody and got the verse, John 3:16. She read that. Then she got the verse about Paul says how he loves us. And she said, you know, we sing in this Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know. And the other only reason we know is because God speaks to us in the Bible. Well, he said, how do you know it's true? Oh, because he's told me and he's shown me. How did he show you? Well, she said, on Calvary's cross, he said, I love you this much. That broke the man's heart there. To think a little 5-year-old could lead him to Christ. God is working. Let us not lose heart and give out tracts. Every opportunity. There's so many ways we can spread the gospel. And the bills we send out for electricity or power or telephone or anything, but it'll track him. And I've done it for years, and in some cases I haven't heard. I got one call from one company, and they phoned up, and the girl said, are you the party that closed a little track and such a track? I said, yes, I did. She said, well, I work for the such and such a company, and I'd like you to come in and speak to me personally, would you? Would you come at lunchtime when I have all my lunch hour and I'm not taking up the company's time? I said, sure. I went in. She accepted Christ their Savior wonderfully. I got another in the mail from a girl. She said, did you put that in there? Have you got any others? I said, yes. And I sent some to her. I hadn't heard anything since from her. But young people, older, don't let's give up. Giving out tracts. You can put them in phone books in the telephone booth, or there's so many ways we can spread the gospel. And I would advise you to get a rubber stamp. They're not expensive. And put the address of the gospel hall where you go, whatever you call it, and stamp it on there the hour of the gospel meeting. And you'll get results. Not the next day, but the main thing is to water it with your prayers. And the Lord can use you. So keep those five things in mind. Find out from the Bible that you're a sinner. It's a very important question. And then find out how to be saved if you don't know. If you're here last night, you know the answer. And you'll hear it again tonight if the Lord tarries. And then the next step is to be baptized and then to receive the Lord as his Savior, and then take your place at the Lord's table, and then after we've done that, be a worker for the Lord Jesus, and he'll bless you.